about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm excited to get started. What about y'all?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
This is a story about some people many of us feel we know intimately. We've shared their sorrows and happiness, felt their emotions of love and hate, and lived with them in the world of make-believe. So this feeling of kinship is only natural. Yet actually, we do not know them at all. And that's the purpose of our story, which is about the real lives of the people of our town.
Instead of offering him a handout, Ryan offered the man a...
And now...
Oh my God! They killed Kimmy! You bastard!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 22nd of July.
He nailed it.
I mean...
Nailed it.
Only took me 22 days. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What's up, rump shakers?
I'll take it.
Okay. All right.
I suspect that's one of the many rap songs that Allie knows the words to. She does seem to be a dictionary of hip-hop, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for noticing.
Very few songs come up that Allie doesn't know.
I really envy that. I watch you and you start singing songs and I'm like, that's a great song and I love that song and I couldn't tell you the words to it.
I couldn't tell you the name to any of the songs that I know all the words to, which is bizarre.
But
that
you
is
know all the words.
That but I know weird. All the words, yeah.
Because the title is part of the words you know.
Sometimes, yeah.
Wasn't Rump Shaker, that was the all I want to do is zoom, 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 and boom, 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 and
just shake your,
shake
rump.
Your rump. Yeah, that was Rump Shaker, right?
I don't know. Let's hear it. Bean?
I don't have it. I don't have
no,
it
No, I'm saying like...
Yeah, rap it.
Oh, that's not... that again.
Just so that we can get a sense
I'm not,
of what
I'm
you're...
Not
that's,
sure.
That's Allie's skill. That's not mine. All I, well, I don't know I why know, I even
just in this particular
it.
Case, though, you're the one that has the song in your mind.
All I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom. And boom, boom, boom. Just shake your rump.
Yeah. Yeah. Rex right, and effect. Right there.
Nailed
right
it.
There.
That was fantastic.
Hey, big show today. I'm excited to hear all about it. But I wanted to start with this. A bunch of our listeners sent it to us yesterday. Apparently Nevada, or Nevada, depending on who you are, is another state that doesn't have brown recluse spiders. But... they do have something called the desert recluse spider.
Oh, no.
And here's the headline from The Sun, the UK newspaper. Dad could lose his foot after spider bite on Las Vegas boys trip leaves him with a gaping hole.
I don't know. I'd like to just eliminate the word gaping from the human language.
A dad of two faces losing his foot after being bitten by a poisonous spider in Las Vegas. Matthew Phillips was nipped by a tiny, it says, brown recluse spider at some point between his stay at the Hotel Wynn and his return flight to Manchester last month. So we don't know exactly where he got bit. He should be, I guess, suing the Wynn, though, right?
Sure, of course.
I mean, just why not, right? The 44-year-old, and I don't know a lot about type 2 diabetes. Do I want that? Because he has
you
it.
Don't.
No.
You don't.
I don't want it.
No.
Because it seems like you just eat tons of sugar. That's how you get it, right?
That's no, yeah, but then once you have it, then you have a whole problem.
You
just
don't want
no.
any
just no.
diabetes. Just
really?
There's
just,
no type you want.
Just say no.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you why I think it might be cool. This 44-year-old who has type 2 diabetes initially ignored the tiny red dot as nerve damage from a pre-existing condition, meaning he can't feel pain.
Yeah.
Right?
He can't feel pain.
Right, heard you.
But with it, but tell me that wouldn't be a superpower that'd be worth having.
I mean, it would be amazing, but
be amazing.
Part of the reason you need to feel pain is so you know something's wrong.
Yeah, then you get infection, and then guess what? You have no limbs. Yeah. Congratulations.
Within days, his foot had turned black and swollen as the venom from the spider had taken root and rotted away a large chunk of flesh. By, sound familiar, Kevin?
Yes,
by the
does.
Time he saw the doctors at the Salford Royal Hospital, the nerve damage was so severe that medics didn't even need to use anesthetic to remove the dead flesh.
Oh, my God.
Leaving him with your favorite, a gaping hole the size of a golf ball. Apparently, the spider's deadly venom is worse than a rattlesnake. He explained that his diabetes left him unable to feel pain, so he didn't take action until it was too late. He said, I could stand on a nail and not know it.
Oh, my God.
They cut away all the dead flesh and dead tissue. It was revolting. It was the most gruesome thing I've ever been through.
This is not the way I want to start the week.
Mm-mm.
It's not the way you wanted to start last month either, by the way.
Who's hungry?
So he says he really needs to keep on top of it. But I just, as sad as I am for him with the spider bite, I still think I'm going to look into this diabetes, though. I just, not feeling pain.
Yeah.
It's just, seems amazing. I mean, I guess the damage would be you step into a shower and the water's too hot or something and it scalds you, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing you'd be worried about.
Right.
Yeah. Just move on.
He is determined not to wallow in self-pity. He says, what am I supposed to do? Do I sit in the corner all day and cry about it, or do I make the most of it? I've just got to think, this is a thing that happened. Do I give up or carry on? I'm not the one to give up. I'm just going to carry on living my life. So he's got a good attitude about it. But there you go. Look out. Las Vegas is coming for you, too.
I don't like that story at all.
Too close to home, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abito, shall we?
I like that.
Change the topic to anything else. We talked last week a bunch about creepy things kids say.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids scare you to death.
Yeah.
We're going to take some calls on that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, I think it's time to find out if our listeners have anything to add that terrifying list that Allie read for us.
We have great news because it's Monday. We have, speaking of great news, we have the Armenian comedian.
What?
We have some recap of Comic-Con.
You didn't say.
What?
Sam?
Recap of Comic-Con.
I did not
say
Sam. That
okay.
is correct.
Did you say the Armenian
recap,
comedian?
What? Why do
Kevin.
You keep? I'm just trying to get through a sentence. Why do you keep interrupting?
We're going to talk about Comic-Con, all the stuff that happened.
Thank
at Comic-Con.
You, Bean.
Yeah.
You must. I think you
Bean,
heard.
It's clear Bean's a short timer because now he has turned and he's into Sam.
By the way, he's always been a flip flopper on Sam. Loves, hates.
Dude, I just need a few months in between visits. That's all.
Jesus.
Space like out a little
it's
bit.
It's a drug. Is what it is. It's a drug. You look. There, people can be sober for 8 months. People can be sober for 8 years. And then all of a sudden they wake up one day and they go, I got to have a hit. That's what the right. Armenian comedian is like for me.
But that's why you have people around you that'll help you to steer you away from that. That's who I am.
I know it's bad for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like as long as it's not a habit, as long as I'm able to space it out with lots of time in between, I'm clearly not addicted and I can handle it.
It's bad for everyone.
I don't think that's necessarily true. Let's wait and see.
Okay.
Let's wait and see. You don't believe man landed on the moon. You're not one of those people. Huh? No, don't tell me man landed on the moon.
Soundstage.
Don't give me the whole 50-year celebration all weekend.
Right? Because the wind wouldn't have blown the flag that way.
Right?
Right?
What about shadows, man?
Yeah.
Come on, shadows. Stanley Kubrick.
And also some highlights from Comic-Con as well. DMC, I don't know if you heard that interview, but he was inspirational.
Like church and a TED Talk wrapped in one.
It was amazing. And had a chance to hang out with Thomas Lennon as well over the weekend. We will take a break. We'll come back with 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
So much movie news and more happening this weekend. So that's why Allie is here first thing on a Monday morning to get us all caught up. What's going on?
Let's talk some box office because Hakuna Freaking Matata. Am I right?
You're right.
People are like, it doesn't have the greatest scores. People aren't so into it. It's not going to do so good. All right. I think it did okay. I mean, it earned about $185 million this weekend.
That's it?
Worldwide, $531
million.
Beautiful. And that's Donald Glover who does that?
That is gorgeous, mm-hmm. is what it is, right mm-hmm. there. Yeah, didn't do too bad. In a distant second place, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Well, we should mention the name of the first movie. Lion King is what we're talking about.
Yes. Did I not mention Lion
Did
King?
Did not mention
okay.
Lion King.
I thought it was a bit okay.
I think it was understood. But
By the way,
Lion
just like to tip my hat to Bean's opening tweet.
Mm-hmm.
We're not lying. We're back for all new Kevin and Bean show. See what he did? We're not lying. LION.
Uh-huh. And it's a Lion King tweet.
See?
Very popular film.
Okay. See the tie-in there?
Okay.
See the beauty of puns?
See?
I see what you did.
Now you're getting on board.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Hey, it's going to be on you to continue the tradition when I'm gone.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I'm just saying.
Can't wait.
Better start sharpening your skills, man.
A distant second place, Spider-Man Far From Home, collected another $21 million during its third week in theaters. That's lifting its total domestic sales to $319 million. Toy Story 4 landed in third place. That animated movie generated $375 million in North America. Globally, doing okay at $859 million. These numbers are astounding.
Yeah, they're crazy.
That made it the seventh Pixar film to surpass $800 million. Number four, the alligator thriller Crawl. Okay. And rounding out the top five, the Beatles-centric musical rom-com Yesterday. You guys, let's just talk a little bit, though, about The Lion King. Because, yeah, it did really well, but it also... do you see all of this?
Yeah. Full page of questions and answers.
Yeah, it's a whole page of different things that they broke. Like different, Disney's domestic opening of all time for a Disney remake. Broke that.
Okay.
Biggest Disney opening of all time outside of Marvel Studios and Lucasfilm. They broke that
number. That's a little specific, but okay.
Is that a real record?
Okay, this is a better one. Biggest domestic launch ever for a PG pick, animated or otherwise. What?
That's impressive.
Biggest July opening of all time.
Okay.
Look at these records.
That's some.
That's crazy.
Ninth biggest domestic opening of all time. Wow. I mean, Hakuna Matata. You guys, this is huge.
I saw it, too, and I was thinking while watching it, I don't know how to make this better.
You saw Lion King?
Yes. If there's a...
Wow. Tell us about it.
If there's a 10 out of 10, this is it.
Really?
I mean, it's just perfect. Wow. The songs are perfect. The tone is perfect. I don't know. I just loved it.
It didn't freak you... Like, people are saying, I don't want to... It's too CGI. No.
No, it was really well done.
That makes me really happy.
Yes.
Excellent.
It was a beautiful movie. I don't think we mentioned the name of it, though.
The Lion King.
Lion King.
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
What if we were talking about The Crawl this whole time?
I was so close to going to The Crawl, but the times didn't work out.
No!
But I'm happy I went to Lion King because it was good.
Were you going to go to The Crawl?
I was going
above
to.
The Lion King.
I mean, no. I was looking at the times. Yes, uh-huh. I was. Yes, I
yep.
was.
Yeah, you were.
All I got right. a little burned, a little excited, a little frightened by The Crawl. I don't know if you've seen their ad campaign, but they have these posters that they put up. Maybe they're not everywhere, but they certainly are in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. They have these posters that put up that say, warning, alligators have been seen in this area.
Yeah.
You don't do that in Louisiana?
And that's what I said.
Not as funny to you people.
Not as funny at all. So I saw that and I went, what? This is bad news for me. I live like 400 feet from here. And then at the bottom it says, Crawl in theaters now. And I'm like, oh, you got me.
I mean, know your audience.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people.
I'm sure that's why they did it. But man, that was a pretty effective campaign to get me to know the name of that movie.
Or to get you to not read any further, run back into your home and
sure,
not
never,
see him.
Never leave again, yes.
Could have gone either way, but
right.
Interesting. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk some great stuff, like Keanu Reeves making dreams come true in Louisiana, of course.
Is he the best?
Yes. Yes, he is.
He's the internet's boyfriend for a reason.
He's just a wonderful man. We're going to talk about Marvel had some pretty big announcements. Not sure if you saw that.
I don't know why anybody else bothered showing up at Comic-Con after what Marvel did.
I got news for you. A lot of them didn't. A lot of studios were like, let's just pass this year and let Marvel
like
have
Sony.
It.
Yeah.
Marvel's got it covered down there. Some birthdays for you. John Leguizamo, David Spade, Albert Brooks, Danny Glover, Alex Trebek, George Clinton, Selena Gomez, and Bean. It must be special today. Did you feel it?
Oh, what's today?
It's Prince George of Cambridge's birthday.
Oh. All
do you right. think he's somewhere wearing shorts with knee socks?
I do.
Just
yeah.
killing it.
He's a cute little kid, though. What is he, six today?
Sure. I don't know.
He's going to be king one day.
I'd rather use your British accent if we're going
to. He's going to be king one day.
Thank you.
It's the return of 21 Pilots, you guys. They are going to be playing the Staples Center and Honda Center in November. You win tickets to one of those shows, and then you're qualified to see them in Las Vegas. It's K-Rock Road Trip 2019, Destination number 5. We've got it for you all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. and then throughout the day on K-Rock at noon, 3 and 6 p.m. Get your details and another chance to win at K-Rock.com.
So we spent the weekend at Comic-Con over the weekend. It was when we did it, over the weekend, for the weekend.
Because it was this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what we did, yes. As you can tell, maybe a little too little sleep.
I am stunned, by the way, and I want to give it up to Kevin, who we all advised against going to San Diego for Comic-Con because he had just come back to work after the surgery, after the spider bite. And we said, Kevin, you need to take it easy, man. You should not be down there with all those people and all that heat. And
that's what I'm good at, though, running taking around. It easy.
Allie, didn't we go to him as physicians and say, we recommend that you do not take this trip?
I believe I all capped a text to him, Kevin, don't be a hero.
Kevin not only not only showed up for both broadcasts and performed admirably.
Really? You'd call that admirably?
Yes, you were terrific, actually. Okay. Then went out after the show every day, and then not only that, didn't crawl home on Friday at the end of the show.
Right.
Stayed for the weekend.
Sure.
And continued to go out and do more stuff. Like, I don't even know you anymore.
Why? It's fun. Why not?
Because you have two enormous chunks of flesh picking out of your head.
That's overrated. The problems from that are overrated. So
what do you need your head for?
I did talk to the surgeon before I went, and I was like, dude, I'm going to Comic-Con. He's like, okay, you know, doesn't seem like that's, you know, very physically demanding. And I said, good.
That's And that was before how I do it.
That was before the golfing and the axe throwing and all the other stuff that was going on.
Axe throwing. By the way, let's talk about the axe throwing, because I don't know where this was or how this happened,
but anyone
who gives Kevin an axe and tells him to throw it should be deported or something, because that is a terrible choice.
I'm going to become a professional axe thrower. That's what I've decided.
Now?
Work the circuit. Is there a circuit?
There probably is.
At Comic-Con, a lot of people who don't go down there don't know. You know, we talk about Hall H and we talk about all these panels and stuff that are all in the convention center. There's so much stuff outside the convention center. This is one of those. It's just in a place in San Diego.
Yeah, it takes over like a bar or a storefront.
I mean, there's so much stuff that a lot of people go down there without tickets to Comic-Con and just wander around and see all the stuff there is to see.
Yeah, because there's a million pop-ups.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this was an activation for the show Vikings.
On the History
On the History
Channel.
On the History Channel,
okay.
So we go in there, we're like, dude, axe throwing in. And so we show up on the day of, and we get there, and they take us in, and we have to sign like 7 waivers saying that we will hold no one responsible for what happens. Then we had a safety talk. I don't know why he was looking right at me, but he was.
He got word.
Let's not throw anything at each other. Let's not fake. And then he looked at me. Throw anything at each other. Don't even fake it, because it could come out of your hand. So let's all be safe.
Now, your competition in the video that I saw, and by the way, there's a ton of video from this weekend up at KROQ.com. You should totally check it out. But was an actor, right?
Okay.
Alexander Ludwig, who's on the show The Vikings.
All right, let me get to just what happened before that. So Dave and Christine and I go in, and we throw 5 axes. And there's a giant wooden wall with a target on it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, just like darts.
Yes, but the axe, of course, doesn't automatically stick in the wall. Sometimes it just bounces off, and you look foolish.
Right.
So we threw 5. Dave, how many of yours stuck in the wall?
4.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christine, I believe, stuck 3.
Okay.
I stuck 0.
Oh, no.
Out of 5.
Well, these were trial ones, so at least it wasn't in front of anyone.
I mean, there were
trials
for Dave and for Christine as well.
Okay, sure.
So then Alexander Ludwig shows up, and he's a freaking Nordic god. I've never seen him before.
He's
a foot taller than I am. I don't know. He's a cartoon.
He is not unattractive, I'll tell you that.
I'm not saying it looked like a before and after picture.
I'm not saying one of you looked like...
200 years before and after.
Yes, you were the face app, old age photo after him.
So for some reason, he walks in and he's going to throw axes, and it just comes out of my mouth because I'm stupid. I say, $1 bet, best out of 5.
Okay.
Now, why would I say that?
Because you're Kevin.
But where would that confidence come from based on your 0 for 5 performance earlier?
That's my question. I'm the Armenian comedian here.
Right.
A lot of confidence, 0 talent. So he shows up and I go, all right, best out of 5 gets $1. And he's like, you're on. So we stand up and I throw the axe and he throws the axe at the exact same time. And mine's stuck in the wood.
Nice.
It's stuck in the wood. And I was just getting ready to celebrate. And then I looked out of my left, peripheral vision to his... And his not only stuck in the wood, but stuck in the
bullseye.
And not just in the bullseye, but like not slightly off to the one side of the bullseye.
Perfect bullseye.
Perfect.
Dead center.
Right in the middle.
Oh,
and I just walked
a perfect
over,
shot.
And I forgot the other 4 and walked over and handed him the dollar.
You're done at that point. And that was his first throw ever.
Yes.
Oh,
I don't
my
know that it was
gosh.
His first throw ever, but he showed up on that day. And that he said, I haven't done it in a while. I was like, all right, we're evenly matched.
Wow.
except for looks and personality. But everything else, we're evenly matched, except for physical ability. But anyway, that
video is amazing, by the way.
That was good times.
So how did you end up then playing golf with Doug Benson, too?
It was miniature golf for South Park. Did you know that it's the 20th anniversary of Bigger, Harder, Uncut? I forget what the name of it is.
Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Thank you. Bigger, Longer, Uncut. Yeah. The 20th anniversary.
Wow.
So they had a full mini golf course.
We're old.
Yes.
How is it the 20th?
Blame Canada.
Okay.
Sure.
And then we got to the last one, and people were very nice to sort of let us go ahead of them.
Uh-huh.
And then we got to the last hole where you have to make the hole in one or whatever, and we mm-hmm. just kept, we missed, and we'd run, get our ball, and go back and start again and hit again, and get our ball and come back and shoot again uh-huh. and get our ball and went back. We probably did that 8 times.
Okay.
And still didn't make it in one.
How high was Doug Benson?
Well, you know, average.
I could answer that.
Uh-huh.
He just went to a dispensary bus that was parked outside the sugar factory, and he said he smoked a couple of J's and 4 dabs.
So higher than
so
usual.
So he was so high.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
He's Doug Benson high. He's a pretty solid average.
That sounds even higher than Doug Benson's average.
Yeah, yeah. He's professional, though.
I don't know who won that, because I don't think we were even keeping track, and we were both cheating, me more than him.
Right.
Okay.
And
cool.
Then, for some reason, we heard that they were doing Topgolf. Have you heard of that, where you just drive off of, you know, different levels?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's different locations around the country.
And they were doing it off of an aircraft carrier, the Midway aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it off the aircraft carrier.
Of course.
In.
Awesome.
So fantastic.
Yeah.
And they video you, and then they also have a tracer on the ball so that they can see your ball. A line follows it so you can see exactly where you hit it, which was amazing. So I took 3 hits. How many did they offer us?
A lot. I don't know. They let us swing away.
Many?
Yeah, they let us swing away.
First one, shanked to the right. Lucky to even get it off the aircraft carrier.
Okay.
Just a horrible shot. Second one, shanked to the left. Just
okay.
Miserable. Third one, couldn't have been more perfect. Handed them my golf.
And a mouse.
I was like, this. I'm not going to do better than that, so I'm done.
Nice.
So that was.
Who knew you'd go to Comic-Con and get so much exercise?
Right? And I have an appointment today with my surgeon, so we'll see how things go. You think I'm that gullible that I would believe that human beings could send a rocket ship to the moon and have a man get out of the rocket ship and walk on the moon?
Just a willy-nilly walking around out there.
Do I look that stupid?
With his chanclas on and, you know, come on.
Okay, you're mocking, but let me tell you what the most recent survey says. That 6% of Americans believe the moon landing was fake. 6%. That means, Kevin, if you know 100 people, then 6 of them don't think we walked on the moon.
I mean, it's hard to imagine anyone that doesn't believe we walked on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 doesn't seem like it's a crazy number. I was afraid it would be 20.
And 15% aren't sure.
Okay.
Okay,
all
so
right.
Now we are getting into some area. Yeah. I think that American hero Buzz Aldrin, who was a fighter pilot in Korea, decorated, a goddamn American hero, I think that the walking on the moon was the second greatest thing he ever did.
Agreed.
The best thing he ever did was punching that moon denier in the face.
I watched that 5 times yesterday.
It's
my favorite thing.
2002, Buzz is 72 years old, and as near as I can tell, the man who approached him, who, by the way, has just made a life. I mean, the guy's made 4 documentaries about how the moon landing was fake. His name is Bart Seidrill. He's quite a bit younger. He looks like he may be in his 30s or 40s at the time he approaches Mr. Aldrin. But here's how that encounter went.
Why don't you swear on the Bible that you walked on the moon?
You really like the picture, don't you?
You're the one who said you walked on the moon when you didn't. Calling the kettle black, if I ever thought of it. Saying
Will
I misrepresented myself.
Get it away from me.
You're a coward and a liar and a...
I swear to God.
Decks him to the ground.
Do you know if that ever went to court?
The police, they did not press charges because the police interviewed the witnesses, and of course it was on video, and said that he was provoked.
Yeah.
Which does not seem legally like the right choice, I think.
Well, that audio that you just played, too, cut out about 2 minutes of this guy harassing him.
Following
Buzz telling
him around.
Get away from me. Stop it. And then he says to his security, get him away from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So no charges were brought against Buzz. Now, I did a little deep dive this week because we were all celebrating the 50th anniversary of man landing on the moon, which, you know, Kevin, I have often said is mankind's greatest achievement. And
correct.
I am still in awe of it. And I've seen every documentary and every movie about it. And I love it. I love it. I went looking for people who still believe the moon landing was fake. Believe it or not, if you Google search that, you will almost exclusively find people debunking the moon landing being fake. So I think the breed is dying out. I really do. At least on the internet, you'd expect to find a lot of crazies on there who claim. However, Bart Sidrell, the man who we just heard get punched in the face by Buzz Aldrin, is still at it, and he posted a video on Saturday. This weekend, he's still at it. He posted this video on the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 astronauts walking on the moon, claiming still that the whole thing is fake.
Some people say it's hard to believe that the moon landings were fake. I say it's hard to believe that they were real. What NASA is claiming is that they went 1,000 times farther than they can go today with 50-year-older technology on the very first attempt with 1/1,000,000th the computing power in all of NASA than is in a cell phone.
Now, what he's pointing out is how unbelievably difficult it was and what a remarkable accomplishment it was that human beings were able to do that 50 years
ago. It was a miracle because I think all of those facts were true.
They're all true, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
So, but it sounds like what he's trying to say is because we haven't attempted to go to the moon in like 47 years or whatever it's been,
right,
that we can't go to the moon. So he's equating the fact that we don't do it anymore. Well, that must mean they faked it and then they decided never to try again because why would they bother, right? He still never has explained to me why they would fake it six times. Like, after you pull it off once and get away with it, why do you send Apollo 12 and Apollo 13 and Apollo 14 all the way through 18? All right, there's more from Bart.
All the proof that you need that the moon landings are fake is in this one picture. In sunlight, shadows will always run parallel with one another. This is because the sun is about 1,000,000 times bigger than the Earth, and it casts shadows in the same direction over an entire continent. Here's a picture which the federal government claims was taken on the moon. The astronaut shadow runs at 12 o'clock, and this rock, only about 5 feet away, the shadow runs at 9 o'clock.
See?
This is a 90-degree difference from objects 5 feet apart from one another.
See?
This proves that this was taken on Earth with an electrical light inside of a television studio. This is all the proof that you need that the moon landings were fake.
So that's his holy grail right there.
That's the whole thing to him.
Is that photograph. Now, that is one of three or four, like Ali mentioned the flag earlier. That is one of three or four things that moon landing conspiracy people point to. And the explanation, as has been explained by many, many scientists over the years, is it's just the sun was very low, the surface was uneven, and sometimes that distorts the angles of shadows. And by the way, the exact same thing happens on Earth. But he is convinced that that's it. And also,
Why do you think this is his one thing? When was it, 50 years ago?
Right. Yes.
Why do you think
50 years ago.
Literally? Why do you think he can't at some point in his life move on and do something else? Okay, I think it was fake, but sure was a long time ago, so it doesn't matter anymore.
Why is he sticking with it so hard?
I don't know why this is his thing.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Do you think we have one listener that is in that 6%?
Yes.
Of people who believe that the moon
landing is fake? I think we have 60 listeners right now.
Really?
I think the makeup of our audience versus the general public is probably a little skewed.
Well, we don't have time for it right now. But
what a shame.
If there's anybody who sincerely believes the moon landing was fake, I'd like to say we won't make fun of you, but I can't guarantee that. But we would like to hear what your reason is. Because, again, they now estimate that there were 400,000 people involved in the moon landing. And like I said, I did a deep dive on the conspiracy things. And these are all the people who worked in various aspects of the mission, okay? And how do you get all of them to stay quiet? Well, one answer for that from people who believe that the moon landing is fake is you don't tell them it's fake. Like the people who are making the astronaut suits think they're really making astronaut suits for the guys to go to the moon, not to go to a soundstage. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So most of the people are out of the loop and believe the thing was real even if they worked on it, right?
So it's only the ones involved on the soundstage that would be privy to it.
Yes. Okay. And obviously
the astronauts.
The astronauts. Yeah, sure. The astronauts who apparently are liars.
Well, Buzz clearly punched that guy because he had something to hide.
So I guess all I'm saying is, it's been 50 years, but if you still are believing it's fake, just get in touch with us. Just call the Afro Line. Let us know how to get in touch with you. You can email us. You can reach out to us on the Kevin DeBean social media. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to give you – maybe we're wrong on this. Maybe you're the one who could convince us that we've had the wool pulled over our eyes by the U.S. government.
We're not.
Not everyone looks forward to Monday mornings. I get that. But we do try to ease you into the week a little bit with great news, which we have for you just after 7 a.m. Plenty of bad news in the world, but there are some people doing some pretty cool stuff. So that's coming up. Plus, Allie's got all the details on the amazing Marvel announcements at Comic-Con yesterday coming up in What's
Happening. Which were 100-fold. I mean, it was crazy how much they dominated.
It never stopped.
We did get a chance to spend some time with Thomas Lennon.
Lieutenant Dingle.
Being calls him Dingle always, but I'm going with Dingle now.
Okay.
I just feel like that's what we've decided. So on Saturday, he joined me and we went out behind the convention center in one of those little pedicabs, which is a bicycle with the little cab thing on the back. Uh-huh. And we took a ride, took a tour. And
met Sounds very romantic.
Met people along the way. Very exciting. We were going... You'll hear me say, you'll hear me screw it up in a minute, but we were going slower than you can walk, than an average walk.
Excellent.
We were barely moving.
Oh, no, if this guy stays with us with a bell the whole time, we're dead.
That's you. We should get ice cream. Hey, what?
Hey, hey, catch that ice cream guy.
Hang on.
No, 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 get next to him.
Hey, stop,
get
ice cream guy.
No, no, don't stop. Tom Cruise in it.
Nice.
Okay, so he's stepping out of our pedicab and off onto the ice cream pedicab to take ice cream.
Okay.
Doing his own stunts, by the way, people.
Nice.
Don't stop, I said.
Did you get anything?
I didn't yet.
What the hell?
Kevin, I'm going to get something.
Go.
Drive.
Came up empty.
What? Disappointing.
It is disappointing.
He jumped pedicab to pedicab. He could have died. That fall could have killed him.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or he would have just stood there.
For
and for what? That was my question.
The plan right now, it's me and Kevin. We're out at Comic-Con.
Hi, guys.
We're good. Here we go.
Do you find yourself not knowing most of the characters?
Oh, my goodness. Kevin, I'm always intrigued. There's like a kid with spiky blue hair.
Yeah.
And he carries a key that's like 7 feet tall. I don't want to be that guy. I know these young ladies.
You want to be him or you don't want
Harley Quinn, Fifth Element. Oh, hi, guys. Right? You know Kevin. I'm Bean.
Well, this is a reoccurring theme, Bean. You may not be thrilled with. You may. I don't know. For some reason, he felt the need to tell everybody that we were Kevin and Bean. Me and him.
I would be honored if somebody would look at Thomas Lennon and think that was me. I'm all for it.
But the problem is at Comic-Con, people from all over the world come there. So for the most part, the people who recognize us or listen to our show are hardcore fans, and they're the greatest. Everyone we met there was so nice.
Yeah.
Most of the people there don't give a crap and don't know anything.
Never heard of us, of course. Yeah.
So he keeps saying it's Kevin and Bean. Do you listen? And people are just like, yeah. Stop it.
I just flew in from Houston, okay? I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
You listen to Kevin and Bean ever?
Well, yeah.
Cool.
When they say it.
Yeah.
That's no.
No, I know. People go, they're like, hey, I love you in that thing. I'm like, oh, which one? They're like, I don't know.
You should be in something good.
Kevin, did you ever buy a boat? You're telling me I should be in something good. My God.
I'm just
calling my agent. High-fiving it. We're high-fiving it.
He has the attention span of a gnat, just like I do. It's a little scary. The two of us put together is not a lot of attention paid to anything. He said, Kevin, did you ever buy a boat?
Yeah,
in the middle of that, because on the right side was our convention center, on the left side was the water with boats.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that distracts him... We're all screwed.
Sir, are you cosplaying or did you hurt your hand?
Guy walked by with his hand in a cast.
He hurt his hand.
He hurt his hand for
That's
real.
That's the fun thing about Comic-Con.
You can't tell.
Get to a point at Comic-Con where you start looking at people and you think, what are you supposed to be?
Yeah. I saw a homeless guy.
And you're like, oh my God,
yes.
You're amazing.
Right. He's like, can you have a dollar? And I said, no.
No.
You didn't get money for cosplay. So, you know, we were treating people right.
Like That's very sensitive.
Like you do.
Guys, if you can catch us, you can get an autograph.
Again... We're going slower than people walking. So the guy had to actually slow down. He had a book and a pen. I think that's what Thomas saw when he said that. And the guy walks over and hands him a book to sign.
We're going like half a step a mile.
Okay, I just like to... Yes, I know.
Half a step a mile, everybody.
I'm just going to tell myself here. I meant half a step an hour.
Uh-huh.
Making fun of how slow we were going.
Okay.
But I said, we're going like half a step a mile. Yeah, so... that happened. So then the guy gives us the book.
Sir, I can get this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're pulled up next to another ice cream one.
What did they have? They have something
Kevin.
Chocolate? All right, good. Chocolate?
Kevin.
All right, good. What else you got?
Here you go, sir. This
Don't
is for
stop.
Your trouble.
Don't stop. All right. Tom Cruise in it.
What do I do?
Jump. I already paid him.
You paid him.
Yeah, jump.
Oh, my God.
We're going to lose you.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, Fast and Furious.
Again.
Sounds very dangerous.
Again, sounds super dangerous.
Yes.
We may have been stopped at that point. I'm not even sure.
This is the slowest action scene ever.
There's a Ninja Turtle and a Blue Bunny.
I mean, I'll eat either.
Kevin, you're so skinny these days. You're not eating either of this garbage.
I'm eating all of it.
I got super lucky in the DNA lottery. My dad was super skinny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I eat like crap. If I looked like I ate, it would be not good. So you did find two ice cream cones, and they were... You know, you say all pizza is good. Mm-hmm. Even the bad pizza is still pizza. Mm-hmm. Whew, this is rank.
Really?
Terrible ice cream?
It's possible it's been frozen.
It's hard to screw up ice cream.
I know. It's possible, though, that it's been frozen since, like, 6 Comic-Cons ago.
Ugh. Oh, wow.
It was rough.
Oh, no.
It was a difficult eat.
You think they ever get it on In the Venom outfits?
So we go by two people in the Venom outfits, and they're amazing head to toe. Like, the time and effort that these people put into these cosplay outfits are ridiculous. And his first question is, do you think they ever have sex in them?
I certainly hope so.
Of course they do.
That's how you start.
That's how you start. Then you go, we should wear that out at Comic-Con.
Everybody everywhere was just had super amazing things. And so we had to stop and talk to a whole bunch of different people. Also, he was announcing, I'm not positive because I lost my notes. He was announcing his next book that's coming out, which we're very excited about.
My second book in the Ronan Boyle series is coming out.
Okay.
It's called Ronan Boyle and the Swamp of Certain Death.
The Swamp of Certain Death.
The first book was called Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles.
That's when you came in.
Which was fun. Came in.
Yes,
thank you for your help, by the way.
Of course.
Went to number 2.
I take full credit for
that. On the New York Times bestseller list.
Had you not come into our show, it would have been number 1.
And the second book will be out on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, now I just want you to hear his attention span again. He's talking about his own project.
Sure.
His book that's going to come out on St. Patrick's Day.
It's the most important thing he's saying all day long.
Of next year.
And the second book will be out on St. Patrick's Day. This is just scary. Can we pause for a second?
Hey, guys.
Hey, mine has candy in it.
Look at that. I'm almost going to rob this guy on the way back. This guy got creamsicles.
Oh, creamsicles.
We're going to jack that guy.
He goes so fast from talking about his book to nonsense.
He's the best.
Hey, guys. Kevin and Bean. How's it going?
You ever seen Bean before?
No.
Now you have.
He said it probably 15 times. This is Kevin. I'm Bean. I'm Bean. If you've seen Bean, I'm Bean. I'm Bean.
We were once filming down at, what's that big mall?
Del Amo.
Talking about Reno 911.
Del Amo.
We're at the Del Amo Mall.
Yeah.
Bright and early, 6 o'clock in the morning. We're about to shoot that day. We always travel. We've got 3 big cop cars that we park out with us. There's a knock on the door, and we're like, hey, what's up? And a couple guys come in, and they're like, hey, we're the DEA.
The DEA?
We're the Drug Enforcement Agency.
And wow.
Like, we had a sting operation set up in this parking lot this morning. And we're buying like $300,000 worth of crystal meth in this parking lot this morning.
Oh, my God.
But obviously, now you've got a bunch of cop cars here. We can't be doing that.
So they're there for real.
That's amazing.
Reno 911 is there for just to shoot, and they bring cop cars. So the DEA is ready to make this huge sting, and they just had to call it off.
Oh, God. Wow.
Because Reno 911 had cop cars
there. What are the chances?
Right?
And we're like, hey, are you mad? And they're like, no, guys, we'll reset it. It's not a big deal. It was like they were canceling.
You
like,
ruined an entire sting for crystal meth.
They were so cool about it. They're like, don't even worry. It's like, it was like as if you canceled lunch with somebody, and they were just like, oh, no, let me sweat it. It's just crystal meth. It's just like $500,000
Put the 300 grand away.
Street meth.
We'll do it another day.
No, they were really nice, and then we ended up hanging out with we ended up chilling with the DEA for kind of a while.
You don't chill with the DEA. That's not a thing.
Those two don't go together.
So then at the end, he's mentioning his book again. It does come out next March. And we were talking about him coming back in.
And you're going to come back when the book comes
out. I'll come back in March.
In March.
I'll come back before.
Yeah, I mean.
I come back in for a lot of reasons. One, I love you. And two, I live very close to the
you do.
Studio.
Okay.
Yeah. I can be at the studio in like almost 7 minutes.
So March.
Yeah. Good times.
He's the best.
You got to see the video, by the way. It's hilarious. KROQ.com if you want to check it out.
It is 6:53.
Allie McKay's got what's happening for this Monday, and then it's great news on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Allie.
Hey, guys. What's up? Don't know if you were following along on Saturday, but the big Hall H Marvel announcements happening. And people were trying to tweet it in real time, and they were getting overwhelmed because when you throw up what looks to be like a roadmap of 10 different things, and then you're saying this is phase 4 of Marvel that's going to be happening starting next year, and they're introducing just show after show, movie after movie, star after star, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and break it down a little bit. First up, Black Widow. Release date, May 1st, 2020. That is going to be Scarlett Johansson, David Harbour, Florence Pugh. It's Rachel Weisz is going to be in that one.
It's a standalone movie, right?
Yeah, it's a prequel solo Black Widow movie. Okay. So
in?
That's a smash. You can already tell that's a hit.
Yeah. Next up, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's a limited series coming to Disney Plus in fall 2020.
Okay.
All right. That's Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan. Okay. Next up, The Eternals. And when you look at this cast, you're like, are you even serious with this cast? Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, Kumail Nanjiani. You've got Brian Tyree Henry, Salma Hayek.
Whoa.
I mean, what? What is happening? And that is November 6, 2020. And
that's a movie? What is that?
That is a movie.
Okay.
Here's the basic premise. They're a group of immortal gods that has been sent to Earth to protect it from equally powerful threat known as the Deviants.
Back to 1976, created by Jack Kirby, of course, who did a lot of work with Stan Lee throughout the years as well at Marvel Comics. I've never heard of the Eternals before, but then I had never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy before that came around. So apparently there's a lot in the Marvel back catalog that is still to be developed, and I'm sure it's going to be great.
This one, I don't know. Is it Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings or Shang-Chi? Listen, I think it's Shang-Chi. I don't know. Somebody should be doing these stories that actually knows, because I don't. What I do like about this is the star of this, his name is Simu Liu. He wound up tweeting to Marvel like 4 years ago, oh, all this is great, but how about an Asian superhero?
Really?
So he responded to his own tweet on Saturday with, well, S. Which is
that's crazy.
Is the reason now I'm going to watch that movie. Awkwafina also in that. Mm-hmm. She's got a great agent.
Yeah,
she really does.
She really, really does. Loki, you guys, Tom Hiddleston, that's coming in spring of 2020. So that's exciting, right?
That's
why
a
do you think they announced so many of these at the same time?
Because it's Marvel and they've got a ton of stuff.
I don't know why that is, but it was impossible to keep up with.
Yeah. Well, this is going to follow the Loki that escaped in Endgame. This is going to come to Disney Plus.
Okay.
I've got like 7 different papers, 8 different websites up, and none of them even... That someone should actually just write an article and say, this is when,
this is what they
are. But no, they're all making it very hard. next up, What If? That's an animated series coming in summer of 2021 to Disney Plus. That's going to explore alternate outcomes in the MCU. Next up on Disney Plus, Hawkeye. That series will premiere in fall of 2021. That is Jeremy Renner. One that made a huge splash, Thor: Love and Thunder. That will be set for November 5th of 2021. And that's when they brought out someone that we thought was kind of done with the MCU, and that's Natalie Portman. She is going to be like a female Thor in that. And
I love
Valkyrie.
Her so much.
Tessa Thompson will be kind of the first LGBTQ superhero.
Fantastic.
She's going to be a gay superhero. And then Blade. That's the reboot starring Mahershala Ali. No date set yet, but that one people flip their noodle for.
Can't wait. Can't wait for all of it.
Nothing, Bean?
By the way, wasn't Natalie like Portman in the original Thor? I think she's the one that discovers him. I don't know. Back to you.
You're the one that watches these.
No, I think that's true.
Yeah, but didn't she also say she wasn't coming back?
I think so.
She said she wasn't coming back, and then she's like, hey, I'm back. Give me that hammer. And they're
did she
like,
say, give me that hammer?
Yeah. And Taika Waititi's like, here's your hammer. And then they're like, woo. That's what happened on
that's
the stage.
That's exactly
you guys.
What happened. That's
so
why,
there
that's
you
what
have
call
it.
This feature.
A lot of stuff happening with Marvel. I don't know why anyone else showed up down there, but a lot of stuff happening.
It does seem like the Top Gun trailer was a long time ago, doesn't it?
Yes.
Remember when we were all excited about that?
The Top Gun trailer, then they had the It trailer, and the, what about Watchmen?
Yeah,
that's
right?
The one that looks so good. No offense to all this Marvel stuff, but that one.
This all looks good to me.
Yeah, that one looks excellent.
People love it.
A lot of people do love it. So Keanu Reeves, he's shooting now in Louisiana, Bill and Ted Face the Music. And he was driving the set and noticed a sweet note on a fan's, some birds.
Some lovely birds. That's there a nice are. Sound effect.
A sweet note on a fan's yard this week while driving to the set. He saw a sign that read, "You're breathtaking." And if you remember, that became a viral moment from the E3 video game conference last month when Reeves yelled it to the audience after a fan yelled it to him. So he decided to stop at this house that had a sign on its front lawn and take pictures with the family that lived there and wrote on the sign, "Stacy, you're breathtaking." I assume that is her name, the woman that lives there. Otherwise, every Stacy is now driving past that house. Like,
also, I hope
wait,
it was a reference
me.
To him. Because mm-hmm. so then it would be odd that Keanu Reeves is like yes. tagging a sign.
he sees the sign and mm-hmm. realizes they're a fan of his.
Yes.
And they probably knew that he was filming in Slide Out, right? So they decided, let's put it out there. And then he just randomly, like, they don't set it up. He just pulls into the driveway, gets out of the car, knocks on the door and says, hey.
Yeah, he was driving by with the writer, Ed Solomon. They were going to set and they're like, we should stop. We should stop and just, I should be Keanu and make this woman's dreams come true. And he did, and that's what happened.
He's amazing.
He's the best, you guys.
Slidell is where my Cracker Barrel is, you guys. I'll sometimes drive up there. It's 32 miles from my house, but it's worth it.
Does anybody have the movie rights to that story?
Do you want to buy them? Because there's going to be a bidding war.
I would love it. You can I get in on it early?
Got to get in quick, yeah.
I'm going to try to get Keanu in the movie. How do you like me now?
I like it. Here's some birthdays for you. Selena Gomez, George Clinton, Alex Trebek, Donnie Glover, or Danny.
Either one.
Albert Brooks, David Spade, John Leguizamo. Good.
If you listen about this time every week on the show and every morning, you probably did not hear a last-minute interview on Friday we did with Daryl McDaniels, DMC of Run DMC. Like you said, Allie, it was like going to church and a TED Talk all rolled into one.
Yeah, amazing.
Do you want to
yeah.
give those birds a microphone or just keep them off, just off mic?
I think they're fine where they are.
Okay.
My point is you're not going to want to miss this because we've got some highlights of his visit at the end of the show Friday coming up in about 15 minutes or so on K-Rock, and it will make your whole day. He is a miracle of energy and enthusiasm. That's coming up, though, and since it's Monday, just after 7 o'clock, it's time for Great News.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for Great News Today.
Great News!
All right, we're going to start with a 6-year-old Texas girl with an incurable cancer. She said she'd been dreaming of becoming a police officer. Abigail is her name in the Houston area. She has stage 4 Wilms tumor wrapped around her aorta. She went into remission for 5 months, but then the cancer spread to her lungs. Abigail's doctors don't know of any treatment or chemotherapy that is able to cure her. She ran into the chief of police in a city near Houston named Ray Garvey in December and told him that her dream of becoming a police officer, it's all she ever wanted to be, was a cop. So he got together, and he got the entire police department together.
And they said, beat it, kid.
And they swore her in as an officer, and the chief of police sort of broke up during that.
I now.
And forever?
And forever.
Promise?
Promise.
To keep fighting the bad guys?
To keep fighting the bad guys.
Until? All of my cancer is gone.
Until all my cancer's gone.
So sweet. Can you imagine?
How long till she shot a guy?
I mean, I don't.
Oh my God! What? Bean.
They swear her in, and the next thing she
no,
does,
no,
just
that,
goes,
no,
wrong with you.
Just goes
it's
on
an
a shooting
honorary.
Spree.
She's an honorary.
She pulls
police
over
officer.
A motorist.
She's an honorary police officer for a day, by the way.
And then she reaches for her weapon. And boom.
Don't ruin the story.
You don't know why she wanted to be a cop, man. Maybe that was the reason.
The thirst for blood.
This is what she had to say after that.
It felt me inside of my heart and in my body. It felt excitement and all of love.
Come on. How sweet is she?
It's pretty sweet.
And that's my great news.
It's great news. All right, mine kind of pales in comparison, but it's still fun when you see people just do a nice thing, just to do a nice thing, you know, with no reward other than just kindness. Allie, you're going to love this because this one takes place in Boston, and it's some Red Sox fans. Most Red Sox fans are assholes, right?
Right.
We can all agree on that.
We can all agree on that.
Not these three, though.
It all started when four friends from Malden planned to attend the game, but one friend bagged out, leaving Pedro with an extra ticket.
We wanted to get someone to appreciate and have fun with us.
That someone turned out to be a man sitting on a stoop near Fenway Park asking for spare change.
So they have an extra ticket to the Red Sox game, and rather than sell it, they decide they're going to give it to somebody who will really appreciate it, and they offer it to a homeless guy near the park. If a million people are in that situation, I say one makes that decision, right?
I mean, you are psyched to go to the game and everything else. You probably are not thinking about being kind like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you look at it, I mean, it's a Red Sox ticket. That's worth something, right?
His name was John.
So I went up to him, and I was like, hey, man, you know, I have no change, but I got an extra ticket if you're down to go.
When Pedro asked him if he would like to go to a Red Sox game, At first, I wasn't sure if he was going to get up, but he's like, sure, he got up, and he seemed pretty excited about it.
Sean admits he was skeptical about taking a homeless guy to the game.
I was kind of shocked. You know, everyone was like, dude, you get another ticket. Like, you could try and sell it, make some money back on it.
But once at the game, Sean saw something you don't see enough of these days at professional sporting events, a true fan.
Everyone's there sitting on their phones, texting and looking around. He was really immersed in the game. He was there to enjoy the game.
The Red Sox lost Tuesday night, but for three young men from Malden, it was perhaps the winningest night at Fenway ever.
I'm just going to say...
Allie, your reason why he was not texting and or tweeting?
Well, Kevin said during that, he goes, he probably doesn't even have a phone. I'm like, Kevin, that's so mean. Come on.
Right, but the point wasn't that he wasn't texting. The point was that he, unlike the other people in the stadium, was really into the game.
Right.
Like, people who could have been into the game weren't because they were on their phones.
But the joke was he wasn't on his phone, which Allie made sure to mention.
Kevin said he didn't actually have a phone.
Right.
It's supposed to be like, a private off-air remark, I think, is what Kevin suggested.
Right, that's my point.
Anyway, I think this Pedro is a great guy, and I would vote for him.
Vile.
I swear to God, Bean.
And that's my great news.
Is that why you took the story?
Yes, it's the whole story for that.
For that. That was it.
A very tiny Napoleon Dynamite remark. Come on now.
By the way, when that story did hit, you know, and people were tweeting about it, did you notice how jacked the white guy in the Celtic shirt was at the end?
Yeah.
I'm like, easy, guns. That's the only reason they did it was to take this picture so you could post it. His arms are out of control.
Yeah.
It is absurd. All right. I don't know if you guys probably don't remember, but it was one of my first great news stories ever about a family that went into a Home Depot and they were like, listen, our child is in a wheelchair. We want to figure out a way to make a costume for Halloween, figure out how to incorporate, you know, some parts of wood, that type of thing. And someone at Home Depot basically went above and beyond and started working on a costume right then and there.
I do remember that.
And amazing.
And then a whole bunch of the people from Home Depot like joined in. Yeah,
it was amazing. One of my favorite great news stories ever. So when I saw this, I thought, oh my gosh. It didn't take long, but how did nobody think about this? Because it can be extremely taxing to build a child's Halloween costume while incorporating a wheelchair. And that's why Target has just released two new costume styles that are specifically designed for kids who are physically challenged. They have released a princess costume and a pirate costume just for starts. And those costumes have been adapted for children in wheelchairs. Not only is the clothing designed for easy dressing with an opening in the back, but then there are pirate ship and a fairy tale carriage wheelchair covers that are sold separately so you can make your wheelchair into
part of
your costume as well, which I think is amazing. And it's I can't believe it took that long for it to happen, but it's great. So since the company offered the wheelchair covers available for pre-order at $45 each, the princess version has already completely sold out. The boutique's website says the items will be shipped to consumers on August 22nd. I assume this is just the start. So two costumes to start, then everyone is going to get into this as well. So congratulations to Target for being one of the first ones to do this. And that is my...
You know, the other day I was walking down the street and I saw a drunk driver hit by a car, flipped over down, and then he still get up, he walked. Mm. You know why?
Why?
He was drunk. All his flesh was loose.
What?
I bet you if he was stoned, he will be die.
No, he will be dying.
Okay, look. I get that the Armenian community isn't for everybody.
He's for me.
He's not for everybody.
He's 100% for me.
But once in a while, Allie, I see your face. Once in a while, why not dip into the magic that is Sam the Armenian comedian?
Sure.
Here's the thing is that I would have him on every day.
Mm-hmm. I know you would.
Bean would rarely have him on, mm-hmm. so we some meet somewhere in the middle.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then Allie just...
Yeah, let's see how this goes.
Grits her teeth?
Yeah.
All right, so you're willing to have an open mind that he sure. could be great.
Sure.
Could be an unsung talent. He just hasn't shown it to us yet. Hey, Sam.
Good morning. How you doing, guys? I missed you.
We missed you, too. Sam, for folks who haven't heard you on our show before, do you know how many years you've been talking to us on K-Rock?
Maybe. In maybe 89, 88.
Well, we didn't work here then.
So we didn't start till 1990, but okay.
I mean, it's at least 25 years, though, right?
More than that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. So I understand you were in Las Vegas this weekend with your friend Manny Pacquiao. Tell us about it.
Oh, my God. You know, before the fight, I was praying in the God, or maybe I know Manny can pull this off. He's give him a Ricky Hattenstein knockout and give him Oscar De La Hoya, throw the towel in the ring, stuff
right.
like that. You know, and I said to my wife, and my wife is very magical woman. She's like the combination of I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched, and Julie. That's her.
Okay.
Bench. Whatever she wants, she'll get.
She cuts his hair, right? That's the connection?
Yeah. Freddie Roach's Wild Card Boxing Club is next to Hair People Salon, full service. My wife, she's now 5-star on Google and Yelp, and okay, everybody okay. knows so, Julie for many years,
okay,
you know?
Okay, all right, but that's your connection to Manny Pacquiao. So you were actually at the fight, and it was very exciting. He ended up winning, and he's like the oldest welterweight champion ever now, right?
And he made the world history, and we are existing in the history, boys. I am from New York. Whenever people talk, the Big Apple, they have a good word. I'm telling you.
What? Okay. I missed the whole connection with New York. I didn't know what that was about. Now, Sam, I understand that you were talking to the King of Mexico before you came on the air, and you were inquiring about getting a job here at K-Rock. Is that true?
And commercials make money. And I have a rock and roll band, and then this is the second city laid out, drive-through, you know, hamburger and french fries and all that, jungle love, breakdancing, night out. And
okay, I heard band and I
hamburger,
heard hamburger,
drive-through,
breakdancing. You're in.
Yeah.
It sounds good. Now, Sam, I don't know what kind of job you want here at the station, but I'm going to be leaving the show in a couple of months. Do you think you'd be interested in co-hosting the program with Kevin?
That would be great, but I heard you quit the show once in a while ago. What happened to that?
Well, I took some time off last year for health reasons, but now I'm leaving to move out of the country, so my position might be available. I was just wondering if you want to join the show full time.
I'd just like to point out that you just offered him a false job, of course, but that he could be my partner. He's like, but what about you? You took some time off.
Right,
he's coming to you.
I'm doing him the biggest favor ever.
Right.
What do you think, Sam? Would you be interested in that?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, you're breaking up.
I'm excited right now. I'm jumping in the air like winning Toyota commercials.
As far as I'm concerned, the job is yours, Sam.
Okay.
All right. Let's take it easy because
I'm
think
just
this,
saying.
I mean, not. But let's not.
Let's
we
just,
don't need to.
Let's give him
but
the
let's
job.
Let's not. And then we could try him out.
It sounds like Kevin is in as
Kevin,
well.
Kevin.
Yes,
Kevin,
sir.
Can
yes.
I tell you something
yes,
funny?
Sam. Yes. Yes, buddy.
One time I was in the studio and I had my white flute. I said, Kevin, could you autograph?
I mean, nailing it.
My flute. Yeah.
I feel, you know, like, I feel like he's mocking me now.
Yes. That's all the audition you need right there, guys.
You know what, Hero?
What did I write?
Tell him, tell him what you wrote.
I have no memory of that. What?
Okay. Sam, we keep telling you, you can't swear on the air. You can't use language that language. And you'll know that when you work here. Okay, listen. We're out of time, Sam. We just wanted to catch up because it's been so long. But you'll be working here full time, so we'll see you soon. But do you have a joke for us before we go?
Okay. You know, everybody, human being, has an angel guidance. Okay, angel guidance.
A guardian and, angel. A guardian right? angel, you mean?
Guardian angel, yeah.
Okay.
And why earthquake in Las Vegas?
Why is there an airport in Las Vegas?
I think he said earthquake.
Earthquake.
Okay, take it easy. Why is there an earthquake in Las Vegas?
Because the angel. Guide angels, they were reporting to God they were gambling in casinos.
Okay.
Allie, don't leave. Allie!
We're having fun.
Allie, come back!
We're having a good time.
Come on.
It's your co-host on the phone. All right, Sam, listen, we'll see you at the staff meeting. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Armenian Comedian Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Kevin and Sam, I think, rolls off the tongue, right?
Allie and Sam
is even better.
She really loves him.
Boy, she had a good time.
Yeah.
21 Pilots fans, listen up. We are giving you tickets to see them locally at Staples Center and Honda Center in November. And you qualify to see them for K-Rock Road Trip 2019 Destination Number 5 in Las Vegas. So your chance to win in less than 1 hour from right now on K-Rock. Allie, very busy morning in show business news. Take it away for what's happening.
Well, this is so funny. According to the New York Post via TMZ, so just say
TMZ,
right? Eddie Murphy is reportedly heading back to the stage, and Netflix will be paying him handsomely.
I'm sure.
The comedian is said to be in talks with a streaming company for a series of comedy specials, and reportedly the price tag is about $70 million.
Whoa.
Wow.
Honestly, I feel like it should be more. It's Eddie Murphy.
Yes, but don't you feel like he's painted himself into a corner where now he was so great.
Right.
He hasn't done it for so long.
Forever.
Everybody thinks he's the greatest comedian ever.
Yeah. He's got a lot of
pressure.
It.
Yeah. A lot of pressure.
More pressure than probably anyone in comedy ever has.
Agreed.
You're right.
That's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, but we will see. Yeah. A series of comedy specials. I mean, it's more than a couple. Or you would have said a couple.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, they did a similar deal with Dave Chappelle, and apparently it is really paying off for everybody. He made a ton of money, and Netflix has done huge.
I've watched every one of them.
Yeah.
Love it.
I cannot wait. I hope that happens. Please let it happen. We do know, however, that Black-ish creator Kenya Barris is writing the Coming to America sequel that's going to be coming out, slated for a December 2020 release. And guess who has signed on? Arsenio Hall has officially signed on, you guys.
Fantastic. I feel like he has to be in it.
He has to be in it.
You're saying it's coming out, the end of next year?
December 2020.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Were you hoping this year?
No, I was just
rad.
Who's trying to keep it all straight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Eddie Murphy's back in a big way.
I'll say. Yeah. I cannot wait for a Coming to America sequel. Are you kidding me? So good.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man. It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you.
Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
I hope he comes back on.
Same.
So good. So this was a very weird announcement on Saturday at Comic-Con. Seth MacFarlane announced that season 3 of the sci-fi comedy The Orville will move from Fox to Hulu.
Oh.
Yes. The Orville is expected to return with fresh episodes late next year, and here is the reasoning behind it. This is Seth MacFarlane's quote. He said, "As the show has evolved and become more ambitious production-wise, I determined that I would not be able to deliver episodes until 2020, which would be challenging for the network. So we began to discuss how best to support the third season in a way that worked for the show. It's exactly this kind of willingness to accommodate a show's creative needs that has made me want to stick around for so long." So it sounds like Seth is saying this is what's best for the show. And Fox was kind enough to let him say, let's push it back to 2020 and then move it over to Hulu.
I do like this trend. big fan of that. Things continuing.
Things continuing, yeah. Well, it was already
three of Designated Survivor.
So it was already renewed anyway, but people assumed it was being renewed and it would be on Fox. So now they just know they have a little bit more time to wait, and it will be on Hulu. So that's great for fans of the Orville that have Hulu.
A lot of people love it.
Right.
Is essentially the thing, which I think a lot of people not real thrilled about that. But did you say a lot of people love it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Hulu is great.
Agreed.
I love it.
I love it, too.
Yeah, you've watched it all the time.
I watch all Hulu.
Too much.
Too much, you
can't
would
even
say.
Get you off of
Hulu. They got a hold of my email, and they were like, listen, it's a lot. Take a break. Are you sleeping, Allie? I was like, thanks, Hulu. Good looking out.
Beats getting her a gift certificate for like 5 years in a row, and she hasn't watched it.
She won't watch a single show.
I haven't even turned it on
not
once.
Not one.
Gift
hasn't
certificate.
Hasn't even logged in yet. Hadn't even set up a password yet.
Totally free. Bean gave it to her for Christmas.
And then for my birthday.
And then again for your birthday. Nothing. You're the worst.
I love Hulu.
When did Sam start?
Happy birthday, John Leguizamo, David Spade, Albert Brooks, Danny Glover, Alex Trebek, George Clinton. I mean, P-Funk.
Right?
Awesome. Selena Gomez.
Selena! Selena! Miss Gomez, Selena! God damn it!
I can't understand why she didn't turn around right then and walk over to Muggs.
I would have run from him.
You had a question, sir? I love it.
Comic-Con every year in San Diego is a little bit overwhelming with how much talent and how much creativity is down there. And like the montages, Kevin, you posted of the people doing their cosplay.
Oh, crazy.
It's unbelievable how creative people get with that stuff.
And a lot of them would take one concept and they would mash it up with something else, mm-hmm. just come up with a creative way to do it themselves. And mm-hmm. Allie and I interviewed a whole bunch of those people on the floor of Comic-Con, and you can see that video at krock.com if you'd like to look at it.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing walking around there. And you saw something at the live broadcast on Friday that you have not stopped talking about. There was an artist there named Rob Pryor, who has a very long history of great work with movies and with television shows and with music videos and so much other stuff. And he was doing something you've never seen an artist do before.
Well, I mean, he had an easel, is that what mm-hmm. you call it? And
yes.
he had paintbrushes in both hands mm-hmm. and was listening to headphones and had his head down and he wasn't looking.
Eyes closed. Just kind of, it almost looked possessed.
Painting with both hands at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't there, but that's not possible.
I'm saying it's not possible as well, but we saw it.
Yeah. Right, but it can't be done.
Right, I agree with you.
We're saying it happened, you can see the actual art.
Correct.
His name is Rob Pryor, and believe it or not, he joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Rob, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
How was your Comic-Con? You have a good time?
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. That's the best. What were you down there for? What project were you with?
Well, I go down every year, pretty much kicking and screaming. There's a company called Heavy Metal where I'm the creative director mm-hmm. and cover artist. So I go down there and I make an appearance there. I sign for fans. And then this year, I was at the TCL Sugar Factory. And now every year they're turning that into my full gallery, and I paint live. And you know, I swore I'd never do another mural, and they talked me into it. So every year I'm going to add on to this mural.
And you have been doing this for years, where you go around the world and people come see you by the hundreds of thousands live paint. Right? It's like it's performance art.
It is. You know, I swear to God, if anybody would have said, you know, 10 years ago that I was going to do performance art, I would have been like, no way. You guys are crazy.
We just got told that we were crazy that you were doing that.
Just now. So how did you end up being ambidextrous? Is this something you were just born with and you've always been able to do separate things with each hand at the same time?
No, I was actually born right-handed, but I was being trained to be an artist from like 2 years old. So my parents were like, you will be an artist and that's it. And so I got to be about 10 years old and I thought to myself the same thing that every 10-year-old says, what if I lose my right hand?
That's a very common thought for a 10-year-old.
That's dark. Okay.
That is dark. Okay, good.
And so I switched to my left hand for the next couple of years, and I refused to use my right, and I taught myself everything, how to throw a football, how to play guitar, how to do everything with my left hand. And then one day, yeah, you see, everybody does this.
Right?
And, yeah, one day I had math homework due, and I was published really, really young. So I had math homework due, and I had a cover painting due when I was about 13, actually. And so I was like, I got to hurry up. So I just picked up both brushes, and I was like, oh, I can do this. And then I realized that I could actually do my math homework and paint simultaneously. So I was like, okay.
All right. Now you're just showing off.
All right. Come on.
That's absurd.
Deal with the devil. Come on. Nobody can. I mean,
well,
it's
that's actually the thing. At 10 years old, I was like, maybe I could just sign this in blood.
and it's not even physically what blows me away that you're doing two different things with two different hands. You're using different parts of your brain too. If you're doing math on one side of the head and creative art on the other side of the head, that sounds like it shouldn't be possible at the same time either.
I guess it just depends on I don't know how much plastic I ate as a child.
Sure.
So what made you decide while you were there on Friday to do this portrait of the Kevin and Bean show? So there's Kevin, and then there's Bean, and then there's Allie, and then there's Jensen, or somebody that looks like Jensen, all at the same time. What made you decide to paint that?
I just thought it would be really fun. It would, you know, you guys were all, you know, there, and I thought, you know what? This is going to be awesome.
All right.
And that was really how it came to fruition.
Okay, so you're doing it with your left hand, you're doing it with your right hand at the exact same time, but at what point did you learn to listen to music and close your eyes and continue painting with your left and right hands?
I'll be honest with you, I never actually knew I closed my eyes.
What?
Honestly, it never occurred to me that I was actually closing my eyes. In fact, all the way until I started doing live performances, I had really no idea because I still see it. So it wasn't until my wife said to me, you know, you're closing your eyes. And I was like, no, I'm not. And so she took a picture of me. And
what a delight you must be as a husband.
Wow.
No, I'm not.
I mean, look, the 10-year-old in you thought, what if I lose my right hand? Maybe the 30-year-old in you thought, what if I go blind? I still need to be able to know how to paint.
See? There we go.
There you go.
I had no idea.
That's amazing. You know,
so you just sort of see it in your head, and that's the thing. Can you look at something once and sort of memorize it that way, or?
I can. But usually when I'm doing a portrait, if I haven't painted the person before, I'd like to have a photo of them up. So I can, you know, I can do that. But if I painted somebody more than three times, I can usually memorize, like, the facial structure. And, you know, there are people I paint with on stage that I painted them so many times that I don't need to draw anything. I don't need to do anything. I just go paint.
How big was the painting of Darth Vader that hung in the sugar factory?
That was like 10 foot by 10 foot.
It's unreal.
Unbelievable.
So good. And the Joker, I mean, they're all unbelievable. Here's my question for you, Rob. So Jensen is not here, but he's the one in the bottom right-hand corner in your picture. Mm-hmm. He is very concerned that he never knew that he was cross-eyed. That was a choice?
I walked up to Rob and I said, hey, Jensen looks a little weird. And he goes, yeah, I made him cross-eyed, just decided to.
Well,
why?
Okay, so somebody said, and normally, like, if I've got time and I'm not, like, completely worn out, I can think of something funny to do because I do this, I paint for this wine company called Knocking Point. And I have my own wine, and so I go paint, and every time I make the owners of the company just in the weirdest, you know, thing. And somebody said, "Oh, you should do something funny," but I was so worn out that I was like, "I don't know what's funny anymore." So
Jensen's cross-eyed. Like, that's it.
I'm going to make Jensen cross-eyed, and then they shot down everybody I asked. Shot down the one thing that I thought was funny, but nobody else seemed to think was funny.
Tell everybody what that is, because I didn't even understand it. Oh, I swear to God, I didn't even. Okay.
And that's what I, that's the part that I think is funny. My warped sense of humor. Okay. I decided that I would put a pig in there with you guys.
Oh, I'd like a pig. Yeah, just a pig right in the middle. That'd be adorable.
A pig right in the middle.
Yeah.
That was it. And I remember looking at my assistant going, "Do you get it?" And she goes,
"No, nope, no one got it. No
not
one got
at
it.
All.
There's nothing
no
to get.
It. It's just." And yep. And that's exactly what everybody says. Like, we don't get it, and there's really nothing to get. And I was,
there's nothing to get.
That's what's funny.
And, Rob is, he's gone bye-bye. He's
true.
Very nice. He's very talented, but he has gone bye-bye.
But don't mistake bye-bye. That's
yes,
part of it.
You know. We put the picture up at the Kevin Amino social media if you wanted to see it on the Instagram or on the Twitter. It was a real honor to be painted by you, and congratulations on your phenomenal success. And we really appreciate you coming on. And Jensen has made an appointment with the eye doctor. He is going to go get that checked out just in case. All right, Rob?
I'm glad because he's got to get that fixed.
Right?
Yeah.
And Allie, are you still practicing your Matrix moves?
Oh, thank you for mentioning. Yeah. Yeah, you witnessed it. You witnessed it. It was awesome. My fall was something.
It was in slow motion.
Thank
it
you.
Was, yeah.
Thank you so much. It's a gift.
Thank you.
Your chance to win tickets to see that band coming up in about 30 minutes or so, right here on K-Rock. Allie, we need to revisit the topic you brought to us a few days ago. One day last week, you were talking about creepy things that kids say.
Yeah.
Because we got into it, and we were fascinated by it, and it was terrifying, but we didn't have a chance to include listener phone calls that time around. So we want to hit it again and invite you to call in if you have had a kid say something creepy. Allie, give us some examples of some of the things that that people have come forward with.
Well, it started with an Australian TV presenter named David Campbell, and he said that his 4-year-old son, who they have never discussed Princess Diana in any way, shape, or form around the house, but his 4-year-old son saw a picture of Princess Di, and he said, "Look, it's me when I was a princess." And then he would start talking about his two sons, which, of course, would be William and Harry. And then the creepiest thing he said was, "There's me as a princess. Then one day the sirens came and I wasn't a princess anymore." And his dad was like, "What the heck is happening
that
with
would
scare
my kid?" Me to death.
And it just brought me down this rabbit hole of things that, you know, kids tend to say things and see things that maybe we're not seeing. Pets do it all the time, too. Like, you walk in the room and your dog is just barking
at a corner
yeah, of a wall, and then you think, "Oh, maybe it's a ghost." Well, maybe it is a ghost.
There are people, Allie, and again, 1-800-520-1067, if you've had a kid say one of these unexplainable, you know, like bizarre things that you have no explanation
for. Your kid
for.
Scared the crap out of you.
Yeah. There are people who say that kids and pets are more open to the universe.
Absolutely.
As woo-woo as that sounds, in that most of us, as we become adults, we just stop believing that any of that is possible, and therefore it doesn't reach us anymore.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what you believe, right?
Absolutely. We become so cynical, and people will try and write it off as anything but something supernatural because that's just too weird for us to think. Mm-hmm. But I truly believe that kids do say things that are happening when they're talking about how they're talking to Nana, who they have never met before because she died 10 years prior to that child being born. Mm-hmm. Or the kids saying, "Why's that man over there?" and pointing to a corner of the room and no one's there. I truly... I believe they're seeing things, you guys. Absolutely.
You think they really are seeing things?
Absolutely. But the one that got me that just... It brought me to my knees. It was so sad, but also so beautiful. Nope, not like that. A woman said that her young daughter had no idea that she had had multiple miscarriages before she was born.
Okay.
So her daughter wound up saying one morning, "Mommy, I met your babies that died in my dream."
They
want you to know that you're a really good mommy.
Right?
That's amazing.
Like, let's say you don't want to believe that they have a supernatural connection. How else Could a child who hasn't been told about the miscarriages know about the miscarriages?
Right.
It's not like they can read it somewhere.
I don't know. No. Same thing with Princess Di. The same thing. Like, how do they, wouldn't they have any idea of knowing that?
Another kid that, he had an imaginary friend named John, and the whole family just kind of accepted it, whatever.
Did John have a falcon?
He didn't. But then randomly one day, he walked up to his mom and said, Big John wanted you to know that he loves you so much. And the mom was like, uh-oh. Because Big John is what she called her father that passed away when she was only 10.
Her father.
This kid would have no idea about. So it changed from being John, his imaginary friend, to Big John, her dad.
Her dad's penis, right?
No.
What are you talking about?
What just happened?
I heard Big John.
Good God.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Okay.
For the love of God.
It wasn't my story. I didn't bring it in here.
Jeez.
All right, let's take a call, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to encourage you, if you've had kids say spine-tingling things with no reasonable explanation, because they do seem to be somehow plugged into a world that the rest of us can't see. Marco, you're in Santa Monica, and you are on The Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
What's up? Morning. So, yes, yeah, so I was telling whoever picked up that I have a nephew who, at the time this happened, he was 5 years old. And we were in my room playing, and I asked him if he wanted dinner. And he goes, yeah. So I went to the kitchen to start making pancakes for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in running to the kitchen. And he says, Uncle, Grandma wants pancakes too.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, Grandma? He says, yeah, she wants three. And I'm like, oh, how do you know? He says, because she told me. She's in the room playing with me. Look, come here. And she grabs me by the hand, and we go back to the bedroom. And she's like, ah, she's gone.
Oh. What happened to Grandma?
Yeah.
Well, Grandma passed away in 97.
Oh, and this was recently?
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Oh. So the kid would never have met that grandmother.
Exactly. And I asked him, how did you know it was her if you never met her? And he's like, that's her. And he pointed to some pictures that I have hanging of her in my wall.
Wow.
Oh, Marco.
Okay.
Wow. Did you make her the pancakes?
Excuse me?
Did you make Grandma the pancakes?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
And cool. I hate them for her.
Cool. Nice idea. See? That's a cool uncle, first of all.
That is really cool, yeah.
Very cool.
Does breakfast for dinner. I love it.
All right, Marco, thank you so much for calling. Go Dodgers. We appreciate it. All right, 1-800-520-1067. What's the creepy thing you heard a kid say? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right, instead of a song, let's take one phone call.
Guy's still talking.
Yeah. Still what? Happening.
Guy was still talking.
Yeah, he was pretty much done.
Big voice guy.
Yeah, he was relatively. Everybody knew what he was saying.
Okay.
I'm in a rush. I don't know why.
Where you got to be, man?
I'm not sure.
Let's talk to Melissa. She's in Whittier. We're talking about creepy things that kids say that are unexplained, except that they're, I don't know, communicating with the dead?
Kids are stupid.
Melissa, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. But you're not saying anything.
Okay. So my mother-in-law had an uncle who passed away, and it was no one that my daughter had ever met. And so she had started to point around our house and say, there's Uncle Toby. And we'd ask her, where are you seeing him? And she would just point random places. But then it got to the point where she started saying things like, when he passed away, he was really old. He didn't have teeth, things like that. And she would start to say, like, look at how nice his teeth are. He's smiling now.
And oh, wow.
Wow.
Wow, so she never knew the thing about his teeth?
No, she didn't know anything about him. It wasn't anybody we ever talked about. It was just, you know,
So maybe when we do go to the other, wherever we go back to our best selves. That's why he had great teeth.
They have dentistry there. That's good news.
Yeah, and honestly, when he passed away, like, that was one of his, like, main features. He was just, like, an old man with, like, bad teeth, and she would always tell us, he's smiling, he's so happy.
That must have freaked you guys out, Melissa.
I love it.
Allie's so happy.
I'm so into this. I love this topic so much.
All right, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We really appreciate it. I don't know when Uncle Toby passed, but I hope he was alive long enough to hear the Alien Ant Farm be the song, right?
Should we just start that song again so Allie can finish her story?
I never want to take a break again. Let's just stay on the air as long as possible to avoid the ending of that. From the 805, Dear Kevin and B, when my son was little, I heard a loud scream and found him in the hallway pointing and talking about a boy he saw there. I didn't see anything.
Kids! They're a giant waste of time and money.
I know they are, but they see stuff that we don't see, and that's the topic here at 1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls. Allie, it will delight you that every single line is lit up.
I love it.
Let's go to line two to get started in Hollywood, and let's say hi to Michael up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, what's up?
So, my brother-in-law, who was 2 years old at the time of this incident, he drowned in a swimming pool.
Oh, but dear God.
But he didn't die. They saved him. Oh. So, he falls in the pool. Mom jumps in, tries to save him, can't get him. Dad jumps in, pulls him out. Paramedics show up. He's still alive. He's a 43 today.
Okay.
He's got cerebral palsy and brain damage. One night we're sitting in the living room watching movies on the VCR. We went and rented a tape, a movie, and we're all sitting around. And he starts talking, and we're like, "Hey, be quiet! We're watching a movie." And he starts talking. And he's, "What are you saying?" So we pause the movie. He goes on to explain in detail the entire scenario of the drowning.
What?
From up above. He's saying, "I fell in the pool. Mom jumped in and couldn't get me. Then Dad jumped in, pulled me out."
Are you positive that he... Did you guys have a conversation? You had to have had conversations about that.
No, it was never spoken about, except it was his accident, because that's a touchy subject. So
yeah,
the details were never discussed. And he goes in detail, and he's probably about 12 years old at the time, and goes into detail of everything that happened, all the way to the hospital, all the way to, and then you said this, Mom, and Dad said this, and you were crying. Describes the whole scene. The craziest thing ever. And we're in tears. We're listening to this story. And so to this day, he still communicates with relatives. Relatives will pass away, and he'll say, "Oh, Uncle so-and-so visited me. Oh, Grandma just came and saw me last night and told me this." And some of the stories he'll tell us, there's no way he would know.
Okay, question, Michael, and I'm very serious about this. What was the movie that you had to pause?
You're an idiot.
And did you go back and finish it afterwards?
Michael, don't.
That's a solid question.
No.
That is a stupid question.
Yes,
right.
It sure is.
Did you hear anything I said?
Yes, you did, Michael. You did.
You're right.
It was just being funny, Michael. Take it easy.
Okay.
That's an incredible story because not only should he have not known about that stuff from when he was two, the fact that he would remember that much in detail from an out-of-body experience is terrifying. Michael, thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. He hates us now.
He hated you.
You
in
mean.
Specific,
yeah.
Right there. Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Christina. She's got she's on line six. She's got another story about a two-year-old that I think will send shivers down your spine.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. Kids say the scariest things.
Right. It's my favorite topic. So when my husband was 13, he lost his father to a massive heart attack. And whenever our son was born, we were all sad. You know, he didn't get a chance to see his grandfather, and that was kind of a topic that we talked about a lot. But whenever he had gotten his haircut one day, he got a yellow balloon from the haircut shop. And as soon as we walked out, he let the balloon go, and we frantically tried to grab it. And he said, no, let it go. It's for Papa Dave. And, you know, we were baffled because we, you know, didn't talk about him in front of him because it was a touchy subject for the family. They had, after he had passed, taken down all the pictures. I had never even seen a picture of him. However, my son, whenever we were telling my mother-in-law, my son said, "I see Papa Dave all the time. Papa Dave is in the light. Papa Dave lives on the stairs." And so she started asking him questions. "Well, what does Papa Dave look like?" And he described him to the T, exactly what he looked like. And he said every time he sees the lights in the sky, which are like the used car, you know, sales spotlights, he said that's how Papa Dave looks down on them. And he said every time he sees a spotlight, that's where Papa Dave comes from. So they said, my mother-in-law asked, "Well, where is he now?" And he pointed to the stairs, and he said, "Papa Dave's listening. He's on the stairs." And so she said, "Well, you know, what's his favorite color then?" And he said, "Yellow." And that's why I sent the balloon, because his favorite color is yellow, which it was. So she continued asking him questions, and he answered every question down to who his friend was and who his brothers were. You know, different things that my son.
No way he could know. Wow, I'm sending him with relatives. At least for a while. I'm scared.
In other words, he doesn't get to live with you anymore. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. That's too much information for a two-year-old.
Is this comforting for your family, Christina, or is this scary for your family?
You know, it was to me, it's so comforting. For them, it was a little bit trippy because they didn't really believe in that kind of stuff. I do. Uh-huh. And so I was excited. You know, a little nervous because then I thought, where else is Papa Dave, you know?
Yeah.
Papa Dave watching me bone? Like, that's weird, right?
Like, I don't know.
How did, what? I'm sorry, Ellie.
Well, that's what she was thinking, too. Like, okay. What else is he seeing?
Like, where does Christine have to go to change clothes now?
Where can I poop?
Hey, so we just went from God's miracle to where can I poop? That's how this conversation just evolved.
In 2 seconds.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
5 minutes away from your tickets for 21 Pilots at Staples Center November 1st or Honda Center November 2nd, and you'll qualify to see them in Las Vegas for K-Rock Road Trip 2019, destination number 5. 5 minutes from right now. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Why don't you fill that 5 minutes with some good stuff?
Why did it seem creepy, didn't it?
No, not
Chip
at all.
Chip and just, I both went, ugh.
No.
Can't really pinpoint what's creepy about it.
Here's the thing. It's not what's said.
It's how?
It's who's saying
it's
it.
Who. Okay.
I just said we have 5 minutes till the giveaway. Why don't you fill that up with some great stuff?
I don't That's know. All. There was something creepy about it.
I didn't mention cream or anything like that.
Whoa.
I just
what?
Nope.
What?
Chip's quitting. Yeah. That's it.
She's out of here.
I'm out.
I don't like it.
So 4 minutes Disney's, now. 4 minutes till the giveaway. What do you got?
Disney's remake of The Lion King on track to earn an estimated $185 million this weekend, dominating the competition and scoring the biggest domestic launch ever for a PG-rated film.
How could people not go see this? So good.
It also marks the highest July opening ever. I mean, Lion King, you're doing all right, you guys. In a distant second place, Spider-Man Far From Home collected another $21 million during its third weekend in theaters. That's lifting its domestic ticket sales to $319 million. Not bad. Toy Story 4 landed in third place globally. Yeah, well, you want to know what Toy Story 4
sure.
is that?
Yeah.
$859 million globally.
Okay. Holy moly.
I mean.
All right.
At number four, the alligator thriller Crawl, and rounding out the top five, the Beatles-centric musical rom-com Yesterday.
May I ask Kevin a question since he saw The Lion King?
Yes.
I've not seen it, but I hear that Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen kind of almost steal the movie. They're so funny.
And John Oliver as well.
Really?
Those guys steal the
All
movie.
All three, yes.
Love it.
And they steal it, but it's not like it diminishes the movie at all. It's amazing.
It's the comedic chops of the movie
and they're
right there.
All good.
I love it. Yeah. Oh, did the songs make you tear up a little bit?
It made me tear up a little. No, I thought they were great.
Yeah, you can tear up because you're so moved by them.
I see.
Don't have
okay,
to think
then.
They're bad that you cry.
What's she talking about, Bean?
Were you moved? I was moved.
Yes.
If the music moved you.
Yeah, I sobbed.
I hate you. Guys, were you at this party that Tony Revolori from Spider-Man Far From Home was from? He plays Flash Thompson in the movie. Because he was removed from a Comic-Con party because he decided to mount a tree to get a good shot of the party.
I like it.
He tried to climb a tree.
What's wrong with that?
I love him so much. Why would you boot him? He apologized and left peacefully when security guards went in to remove him. I say, let the man get the shot.
Right?
Right?
He's in Spider-Man. He's at Comic-Con.
Thank you. That is my point to all of this.
Huh.
This is a interesting pairing that I think maybe a lot of us kind of forgot they were even together. Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara.
Oh. Hmm.
They've been dating for 3 years. They met while filming 2016's Mary Magdalene. She played the title role and he played Jesus, which makes sense as to why they're now engaged, you guys.
Wow.
Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara. They are the most off-the-grid couple.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
So, now they're engaged. Good times, you guys. I like it when people find love stuff. Mm-hmm. Who's with me?
The rest of the world, mostly.
Whew. All right. Right. Hey, remember that whole storming Area 51 raid?
Yes. I'm going.
You're going.
I'm absolutely there, yeah.
Well, if you can't make it to that...
I'm going on a Segway.
If you can't make it to that, more than 19,000 people have signed up to storm the Bermuda Triangle. Because a man named Anthony Carnival, who is apparently a prankster, he has decided that they're all going to get in a ship. And he says, can't swallow all of us. So that's what's going to happen. They're going to get on a ship, and the Bermuda Triangle can't swallow all those people. So I say let these people do it.
And let's see them aliens.
And hope for the best.
And yes, and let's have those people that are storming Area 51 actually go through with it and mm-hmm. never to be heard from again.
When is that supposed to happen, that storming of Area 51?
It was September, 51? I think, okay. Wasn't it?
Sure.
Do they know that the government military will be waiting for
right,
them?
But this is the point. If there are a million of us, Kevin,
right. Yes.
What are they going to do? What did I tell you? It's like when you see video of them swarming a convenience store. 50 people go into a 7-Eleven at one time. The clerk can't do anything about it. You overwhelm them with force.
So you're giving the U.S. government mm-hmm. military
uh-huh. yeah.
a heads up of mm-hmm. about 3 months?
Yeah.
That's right.
To figure out how to stop those people?
But and we're going in the middle of the night. We're going to surprise them.
I see. Okay.
I got news for you. The U.S. military can stop a million
right,
people.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
is the thing that they're kind of forgetting.
Not yes. if we come at Area 51 from all sides. That's what you're forgetting.
Again,
we're hitting
I'm,
them on multiple fronts.
I'm telling you, yes, they can, and they will. But try it anyway.
Okay.
Because that is Darwinism.
I'm going to be called on the sweet beard of justice. That's my one call. I'll tell you that when I get arrested.
No, you're not going to get a call.
You're not going to get arrested. First of all, right. You will be dead. That's my whole point.
But what a way for Bean to go. He's always wanted to meet an alien.
It's true.
I have.
It's
given
true.
It his best shot.
Boom. So, September 21st, Dave is saying? I thought it was earlier than that, but okay. We got some time. We still got some time. You guys are with me. You guys are coming with me, right?
Yeah, absolutely
I
not.
Will okay. Pack your bag.
Fantastic.
I assume you'll bring it back.
You don't remember when we went last time?
I do.
Okay.
Look.
That doesn't dissuade you at all?
Because it was just you and me last time. Now it's going to be you and me plus a million other people, Kevin. I'm telling you, strength in numbers.
I don't like
it. It's so scary to drive down a dirt road mm-hmm. with signs on both sides saying, you do not belong here.
Yeah.
This is U.S. military land.
Yeah.
Turn around and go back now. And just to
you
keep
just kept
driving
going.
Past one and
what
another.
What is wrong with you?
Right. It's scary as hell.
I don't like it.
Doesn't help that I jumped out and said, hey, show us some aliens. That may not have been the introductory
and possibly
statement that we
one or both of you wearing tinfoil hats.
Possibly. Yes.
Idiots. How did they not kill you? Honestly.
I mean, here's what happened. I said, show us some aliens. They said, you need to turn around right now. Mm-hmm. And we saw headlights in the distance of about 6 vehicles.
Yeah.
And that was all within 2 seconds mm-hmm. of us making our entry.
Yeah. Yep, let's see what those 6 vehicles could do against a million people.
All right. Some birthdays for you. John Leguizamo, with David Spade, Albert Brooks, Danny Glover, Alex Trebek, George Clinton, and Selena Gomez.
She's the best.
She's the best.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
She tried to wait until she got home to watch it, but I insisted that Allie watch the Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood movie trailer.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Tom Hanks as Mr. Fred Rogers. What do you think, Allie?
It's going to be real good. I need Thanksgiving to get here.
Yes, I know.
Oh. I get all soapy.
No, mm-hmm. it's not like
soap
that.
Soap suds all over me.
It's from the trailer.
And then my grandfather would take this hose
no.
and go like this
it's
with me.
Very
and squirt all over me and spill the soap. You know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Which part did you play?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together. Okay.
Is right there where you cried?
That's no. that's not.
That's where you
that
cried?
That part is not in the
that's
in the trailer.
Not, no. This mm-hmm. is about a sweet friendship that he struck up with a guy who became friends with him and through the rest of his life. Mm. And mm-hmm. it just looks amazing.
Agree to so. Disagree.
Allie is here with the rest of what's happening on a Monday.
Guys, we're never going to stop talking about this Area 51 raid. Because here's the thing.
Well, now Bean's in.
Bean's totally in.
Totally in.
Yeah. Totally in.
I want to lead a battalion.
Well,
I don't just want to be a soldier. I want to be at least a colonel.
Okay. All right. Right. I don't think you know what colonels do.
I don't.
Or battalion. Okay.
I don't.
Well, here's the thing. Bud Light at first distanced itself. They wound up tweeting, "We'd like to be the first brand to formally announce that we will not be sponsoring the Area 51 raid." And people were like, "Ooh, that's bold, Bud Light. Good for you." And then they changed their tune. So they tweeted, "Screw it. Free Bud Light to any alien that makes it out." People were like, "All right, very cool." Now they have announced a special edition beer, the Area 51 Special Edition. The top of the can reads, "Greetings, Earthlings. This is the famous Area 51. We know of no space beer by any other life form which is brewed and aged to more refreshing... to be more refreshing, excuse me, our cryogenic aging process produces a light-bodied space lager with a fresh taste, a crisp, clean finish, and a smooth drinkability. Take us to your leader for drinks." I tell you, Bud
strong.
Light. Spaceships, I don't need it.
Alien,
right?
All there,
right?
All of those things. So now, I mean, you and your battalion can mm-hmm. bring Bud Light, and
yeah.
they're going to get a free Bud Light. The first aliens out.
Bean, how many people are in a battalion?
Well, I don't know. Okay. I mean, I've got a lot of research to do on this topic. Mm-hmm. But there's a million of us, so I imagine that's going to break down to quite a few battalions.
I see. Okay.
I mean, I think you want it to be a manageable number. I don't think you want 300,000 people in a battalion. I think that'd be
right.
too much.
Right.
What do you think is a good number for a battalion?
Four.
Four.
Just
four
people.
So you want to lead four people.
Four people, yeah.
Okay.
So again, something manageable.
So 20% of the group has to be colonels or above. That's what you're saying.
I haven't worked out all the details.
Okay,
Kevin.
All right. Good.
Buster, if that's not of alien life,
right?
I don't know what the hell is.
Thank you, Beer Mug.
Good
He's
point.
I think Beer Mug's going to be in my battalion.
Sure. I'm sure he is.
He's going to be my right-hand man.
So you're Keanu Reeves. You're filming Bill and Ted's Face the Music in Louisiana. And you're driving in a car with the writer, Ed Solomon. And you pass by a house that has a sign in the front, and that sign says, "You're breathtaking."
Whoa.
Which goes right back to a viral moment from the E3 video game conference last month when Keanu Reeves yelled it to the audience after a fan yelled it back to him. So, "You're breathtaking," just kind of became a thing. So he sees the sign and thinks, "Oh, that's for me, obviously.
Sure.
I better go meet the people that put it there." So he takes photos with the sign's owner and the whole family before heading back to the movie set. You guys, Keanu Reeves couldn't be cooler.
What if it wasn't for him, though?
What if they were like, "No, sir.
Yeah.
For our uncle's coming home tomorrow.
I'm sorry, who are you?
From a hospital, and he's breathtaking. We just wanted to put the sign out for him." They're like, "Can you please get off our lawn? You're freaking us out."
And why do you look so much like the guy from The Matrix?
Right? That's the thing, though. Can I just put a sign in my yard and hope that Keanu drives by and then rings my doorbell? Because I would have done this years ago.
If that's how it works, sure.
It's not like a pager. He doesn't just feel that it's there.
Well,
it's Keanu,
he found this person.
Though.
Well, maybe
it's Keanu.
It's Keanu. That's a good point.
I bet he does.
I hadn't thought of that.
You guys, Rick Grimes will be back, but you're going to have to pay for a ticket to see him. Oh, yes. Andrew Lincoln will be back as his role as Rick Grimes in a feature-length movie, but it's not going to happen on AMC, of course, where you would watch The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
They had a teaser trailer for the movie drop on Friday night at Comic-Con with the words, "Only in theaters," as the tagline. So are people going to go see that in theaters?
Sure.
Think?
I would think so.
Yeah,
okay.
They got 10 seasons worth of fans of The Walking Dead. I think people will want to see that, yeah.
All right.
Is there any word on if Carl's in it?
There is no word,
okay.
But I hope
that's
that he
important.
Is and that you will only realize that once you're sitting in the theater
okay.
and there's people on both sides of you and you can't leave.
All right.
So there you have it.
Refresh my memory, Kevin. Did Rick Grimes die on the show or
no.
did he just disappear on the show?
Didn't he leave in a helicopter?
Yes,
I don't even
right.
watch
Correct.
The show.
That's There's
right.
the person who doesn't watch the show.
Okay, so I guess that the reason I asked that is because it sounded like your question was suggesting this might be a prequel, but it maybe not. Maybe this is Carl's already dead before the events of the movie take place.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping.
Okay, gotcha.
What if we find out in this movie that there were two Carls?
That he has a twin someplace?
Yeah, he's a twin that survived.
That they're hiding him?
Yes. And all of a sudden, he just pops up, and he's like, "Hey, I'm Carl. Got any pudding?"
I wear a dumb hat, too, just like my dead brother.
A lot of great callbacks from a person who didn't watch the show.
It's concerning, isn't it? Oh, dear. All right. R. Kelly is going to be flown to New York to face felony charges.
Things are not coming up, R. Kelly.
So he's facing two separate federal cases relating to his alleged sexual misconduct with underage girls. He recently pled not guilty in Illinois to 13 counts related to the making and procuring of child pornography. And he's facing a five-count federal case in New York, which involves allegations that he brought the underage girls across state lines.
Is he absolutely positive he can fly, Allie?
File.
For God's sake.
I'm just asking a question.
With the most of prejudices.
The glee with what you said that was just
And he took
painful.
A pause. Like, wait for it.
Was that...
Answer the question, Allie.
Now I'm really out.
Is he absolutely
I'm going
certain?
With Chip.
He believes he can fly.
Yay!
You can't? Okay. Dean's making all kinds of things here where he's going against the rules. You can't play sound effects of kids cheering for yourself.
Those are the kids, man. I have no control over what the audience does. Come on.
Don't even do that on a Monday.
Monday.
How dare you do that on a Monday?
For the love
of all things. I suspect Chip's going to be doing that every day between now and when she leaves.
That hurts.
Yeah, way to go, Chip.
Because I can't get here soon enough for her, that's for sure.
How much more time you got with us, Chip?
Nine shows.
What? Way too
quick.
She's
reconsidering right there.
Nine more shows. Whatever, Chip. It's not like you've got a good job to go to.
Oh, it's... I'm sorry, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Way better.
Way better?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, at least she has to drive far for it, right? She has to drive here from Orange County, so she has to drive far for this job.
Technically, it's from home. Technically, she's working from home.
Okay, but at least she doesn't get, like, full benefits
all
of vacation.
That. Yeah, gets all that.
But a pay cut, though, right?
A pay cut, not making...
Mm-hmm.
Nope,
oh,
more money.
Making more.
How is it possible to make more money than K-Rock is paying?
Oh, this is all so very sad, you guys. Let's wrap it up, shall we? Some birthdays for you. John Leguizamo, David Spade, Albert Brooks, Danny Glover, Alex Trebek, George Clinton, Prince George of Cambridge, and Selena Gomez.
Selena, over here. Selena, God damn it.
He reminds me of that commercial that's out there. I don't remember who it's for, but dad, mom, whatever that is, where the kids just won't stop saying it. That's Muggs. Nope. All right.
What's happening?
Jesus.
Did I just slam on the brakes? On your drive home today, listen to Stryker and their commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. And
way to go, Cracker.
From the SoCal Huffle Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Bean found out his Uber rating for the first time and is outraged.
I am outraged. Is there a way, I'll save this for tomorrow, but is there a way to go back and personally track down all the Uber drivers and discuss the rating they gave me?
I wish there was.
I don't think there is, all seem to agree on you not being the ideal passenger, then perhaps they're right.
Unacceptable. I'm going to burn that company down.
Okay.
I don't know how, but I'm going to.
Cheers with Muggs on tomorrow's show.
Excellent.
And Jensen Karp is back. Very excited to have him back as well. That is